True North has something truly fast and friendly. Introducing the True Rewards mobile app. Sign up to get instant access to member-only offers and in-store coupons. As a True Rewards member, track your club status, find a store, and redeem exclusive offers all in one place. Join today and save 25 cents per gallon on your first fill-up and save 5 cents every day. Savings are stackable with Shell Fuel Rewards. Download now from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
Looking for a new way to grow your business? With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising on TikTok, now's the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/tiktokads, and grow your business fast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Holiday doorbuster deals are on at Lowe's. Today only, get select one-quart poinsettias and select translucent plant saucers for $1 each. That means for a limited time, you can decorate to get in the Christmas spirit for less. Shop in-store to make sure you don't miss out on big savings all day. But hurry, these offers won't last long. Lowe's. We help. You save. Valid 11/28. In-store only. Limit 16 per person. Selection varies by location. While supplies last.
Talked a little bit earlier about the Brandon Nimmo trade. Marcus Semien coming back in the trade. Nimmo having to waive his no-trade clause to go to the Texas Rangers. On the surface, you know, it is jarring because it's not something we had thought about or talked about. And obviously, you're getting an older player back who's not as good offensively, and Brandon Nimmo's been just a great Met, a great teammate, a great personality. But it tells you a couple of things. One, war is important to David Stearns, because even though Brandon Nimmo has better offensive numbers, Marcus Semien the last number of years has had a significantly better war. And also, run prevention needed to get better defensively, and it also knocks a couple years off if you look at the contracts and having to deal with the guaranteed money through whatever year. Semien's contract doesn't run as long.
Basically, 3 more years.
Yeah, so what it means for the rest of the offseason remains to be seen. You and CeeLo believe that it means that Pete Alonso is coming back. I don't necessarily.
Well, there's something else that's going to go on here, and that is going to be the trade of Kodai Senga. That feels like that's imminent as well. And, you know, there's going to also be most likely the trade of Jeff McNeil. They may have to eat some of that contract. I mean, so they are definitely retooling this team, and they're trying to do it where they think that they can not only get a bang for their buck, but also get better defensive players at certain positions, which also leads me to believe that they have to still be in on Pete Alonso. You know, I just really feel like that is going to be a part of it.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I need to know what outfielder they're going to replace Brandon Nimmo with before I know how they're going to treat Pete Alonso. Well, because I think they go hand in hand, don't you?
Yeah, as far as the money is concerned, too, when you think about it. So Kodai Senga, I think, is probably, where is he? He's the fifth highest paid player in the league. He's making $15 million.
On the team, right?
On the team, yeah, not in the league. $15 million on the team. So, and he's got... I guess he's got a club option. So essentially he's got 3 more years as well. I see them moving money around, meaning that they have to be making a number of big offers to a number of different players. The thing that worries me is going to be their pitching staff now.
Yeah.
Because they already bought out Sean Manaea.
Mm-hmm. Well, Frankie Montas.
Yes,
not Manaea.
Yeah.
But he was out for the season anyway, so that didn't really matter. But yeah, I think like you think about like the Kyle Tucker or the Cody Bellinger. I mean, are the Mets going to go above and beyond and spend more money on either one of those two guys than the Yankees or Dodgers would, like they did with Juan Soto last year? I don't know.
But the point is like, if you have Juan Soto on your team and you're paying him all this much money, don't you have to surround him with quality baseball players to at least give them a shot?
Oh, yeah, of course. But wait, who's saying they shouldn't?
But that's why I'm saying this is why you're moving guys in and out and moving guys around. You're trying to get better defensively. You have a little bit more flexibility at the back end of Simeon's contract. They're going to trade Senga. They're going to get rid of McNeil. You got to believe that those two guys, by moving those guys out, gives more flexibility with the amount of money that you're going to spend now.
Listen, I'm fine with trading Kodai Senga. From what I've seen, he's absolutely frustrating, but he is one of those guys that's a candidate to figure it out somewhere else and be very good, because we've seen him be very, very good here, but then all of a sudden, you know, it's a tweak, it's an injury, he doesn't feel right, and this and that, can't get himself back together. It's been a very odd tenure with Kodai Senga as a Met, so if they're going to trade him, I don't have an issue with it, because he has been frustrating, but he's also one of those guys that I could see us looking up at the All-Star break next year and be like, freaking Kodai Senga's an All-Star for Arizona.
God, maybe. I mean, you know, that's the other thing, too, is like, you know, who will they trade him to, and what will they get in return for him?
Yeah. And is it just more of a money dump, or do they believe that they can get something back significantly to contribute to the major league club? So, yeah, I mean, a couple of interesting things that have gone on early in this offseason. I think, you know, early December is where things start to really get going. I think it was December 11th, somewhere in there, where Juan Soto signed last year. So,
a little percolation
spot for everybody.
Yes.
If you want to talk about the Mets or anything else, 888-808-1019. Tony is in West Haven, Connecticut. What's going on, Tony?
Hey, Boomer Geo. Oh, yeah.
What's happening, Tony?
Listen, I got to thank you guys, because you guys put on AJ and Big Justice Friday, and I taped it for my son. And him and his friends are the biggest fans of these two. And to watch Big Justice last night deliver a stunner in the ring and then drop the boom was so funny. I mean, the kids went crazy after he did it. It was amazing. Absolutely amazing.
And here it is right here on CBS Sports Network. This will be the first time that I'm seeing this. Oh, there's the stunner. Oh, there's the stunner.
Look at Big Justice. He's got his little uniform on. Oh, man. He's got his little ring suit on, you know?
That was, I got to say, for a young guy who is, I mean, his dad's the wrestler and he's just learning how to do it. That was a very impressive maneuver for the young man.
And I'm telling you, Boomer, you were so right when you said he's got this charisma, because these kids love him. I mean, they were going nuts for him yesterday when he got in the ring. And this kid is living his life, man. He is living the ultimate dream. He gets to go to the Super Bowls. He's going to go to World Cup. Now he's in wrestling. I mean, this kid is living the dream.
Yeah, he really is. And there he goes down there big time. He just got pushed down by whoever that dude was. That's CM Punk there. And then the Rizzler comes to his defense.
The Rizzler who ate the cheeseburgers.
you see the Rizzler with his cape on and his jeans? I mean,
But Big Justice definitely he's got an aura about him. There's just something about him that just makes him really likable. And just... He's smart. He's really smart.
I just I'm watching again on the
delay. And he gets to hang out with his dad doing crap like this. This has got to be like the best. I mean, where's AJ? AJ's got to come off the top shelf and, you know, knock that guy out.
I'm sure he did at some point. You know, those are just the, I don't know if they have another clip of AJ doing anything, but. Professional wrestling is funny, man. It really is. It is funny. But the Rizzler with his boom cape running over there with his jeans and his t-shirt checking on his buddy. You okay, Big Justice? You okay? Yeah, Rizzler. Come on. Let's go get him.
Riz, man. We got some chicken wings in the back. Let's go. Chicken fingers.
Right. On a glazed donut. Chicken fingers and a cheeseburger.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Ah, DSW. birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. If Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day. Yeah. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
And what's crazy is now you look at this offense, and the offensive line is hush-hush pretty good.
Yeah.
They can run the football. Think about over the last 2 weeks how often they've run on first and second down and how effective they've been. They've gotten some pretty out-of-the-box play-calling decisions,
yeah.
And they're scoring enough points to win. So the thing that was such an issue a year ago, even with a backup quarterback right now, in fact, I guess you could argue a third-string quarterback, at least the way the season started, with one of your top running backs being out and clearly your top wide receiver being out, look at the results.
Yeah, last year, the Giants were 16th in defensive scoring and 31st in offensive scoring.
Now it's reversed.
It's flipped
yeah.
to the complete opposite.
They're 30th in defense, and offensively they're 16th. Probably in that range, yeah.
That's crazy.
Junior is in Jersey City. Hey, Junior.
What's up, boys? Happy Monday.
Happy Monday, sir. What's on your mind?
What bothers me with the Giants is that I wouldn't go for it on fourth down. I would have taken the points and make the Lions beat me with a touchdown.
Yeah, I mean, I guess so. But I'm not arguing that. They're trying to win a game. They're trying to make it a two-possession game at the end. If they were 5 and, I don't know, what would be the record then be? 5-7? And it's like, oh, maybe we can do something here. Perhaps you trust your defense, but they're 2-9 at this point.
I would agree
it's
with you
like,
that.
It's like, who cares? Just try to win the game. An aggressive way.
I would agree that there are moments where you look at your record, the Jets are in the same boat, and yep. say, why not be more aggressive? But there's also that line in the sand where you say, yeah, but that's too crazy, right? And it's really just defining where that line is.
Mm-hmm.
To me, a fourth and goal from the 3-yard line is a screw it, let's go for it moment.
Right.
But eventually, there's a moment where you say, I don't know if this is smart. And maybe yeah. for you, it's not 4th and 6, but if it was 4th and 11 and that sack previously, or it wasn't a sack, but let's say there was, and it was an 8-yard loss, then at some point you would have said, just kick the field goal.
No, of course.
But to me, 4th and 6 was that moment to do it.
The second and third down plays were the issues. So you throw it on second down. By the way, it was the right play. Just Theo Johnson stumbled coming out of his break, and so he was, whatever Jameis Winston described it as, 4 inches away from the ball, right? And Jameis is going to throw the ball on time. You know that. He's going to put it exactly where it needs to be most of the time, and you need to be there. Theo Johnson stumbled out of his break, and so he was behind it. But then the run play on third down was the one that killed you, because you bring in an extra tight end. Everybody knows what you're about to do, and you get stoned for a 3-yard loss to make it 4th and 6. So second and third down plays were the ones I had a problem with, but the decision I didn't mind at all.
And you didn't have a problem with not keeping the ball on the ground on second down, a forced Dan Campbell to use another timeout.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
So the sequencing of the play calling. If you're gonna throw a pass, do it on first down.
Oh, I misunderstood. So you would have run, thrown on first down.
I actually would have run on all three downs.
To make them use their timeouts?
Yes, run. Because, look, I'm old school that way. I get the aggressive nature of the NFL these days, but you're on the 4-yard line. You haven't been really good in the run, but Tyrone Tracy is starting to come on. Run the ball 3 times in a row and then make a decision. I think the reason they went for it on fourth down is because he went into third down saying, we're going for it. That's the reason he ran it. Is because we're going for it on fourth down. I hope we get a yard.
Which is
maybe
what I thought.
Maybe we get lucky. But when it loses, you screw up your personnel by basically waving a flag saying, hey, we're running it right here. We're running it right here. We can. You just gave it away. So just keep personnel the same and run the same play.
Yeah,
You know what I mean?
So yes.
Like, it's frustrating to me to think about what Mike Kafka and this Giant offense is thinking about when they make these decisions, because it's like they're trying to be smarter than they need to be. Just run the same damn play. Tyrone Tracy has gone two straight plays to get you down to the 4-yard line. Just run the same play. And if they stop it, maybe rethink it. Keep running the same play. Football is not complicated. I think too often coaches think they're smarter than they need to be. Just run the same play and then get smart with how you run clock. The Giants have done this multiple times. I don't know if this is in their manual, but making an opposing team use timeouts is important strategy. The Giants don't do it well, and it's frustrating because it was Dave's in Denver, and it was again Kafka against the Lions last night. And so, like, I see all these things, and it's just dumb, right? It's not like, oh, we're inferior, we suck, we're not good enough. It's just it's stupidity. It's forcing this team to lose these games, and it's frustrating to me because I don't think these are stupid guys. They're doing stupid things, though.
It's funny that you use the word stupid, because on November 18th on this show, which I guess is less than a week ago, I may have used that word to describe the idea of trading Brandon Nimmo.
Yeah.
And so before we address this, and Giant fans, we'll get back to your calls in a minute. We're going to hit on everything and keep everything on the table for you. The Giants, the Jets, which we haven't gotten to, Brandon Nimmo, and how Steinbrenner spoke, 888-808-1019. But before we address the Brandon Nimmo trade from yesterday and what David Stearns had to say today, I will take you back to November 18th. When I said this about the idea of trading Brandon Nimmo. I'm telling you today on November 18th, A, I don't think the Mets are going to trade him, and B, I think it would be stupid to trade him because I don't see a scenario that makes the Mets better. If they trade him, I'll take my L for being wrong, but then I'll probably scream and yell at the move unless it's a move I don't see coming. Okay, with that said, obviously, I said it. There's no prosecution needed. I have to take my L. The Mets traded Brandon Nimmo.
Right.
That is clear cut. So, Sean, can you grab an L? I'll wear it for however long I have to. That's number one.
Yeah.
Number two, I said I didn't see a trade that would make the New York Mets better.
Mm-hmm.
Let's start with that simple point, and we'll get into all the other aspects. The New York Mets are not better today than they were yesterday.
Without Brandon Nimmo.
They're not.
Because the bat, you missed the bat.
Yes. And Marcus Semien, while he provides excellent defense at second base,
yes,
no question. So the Mets have upgraded themselves defensively at a position that featured three or four young players that could have potentially taken the job.
Right. Who the hell is playing second today?
They've created a new hole in the outfield. Mm. They have made their offense, an offense that wasn't good enough last year, a little bit worse.
Well, don't you think that might be setting up something else?
That's why, Tiki, I cannot scream and yell the way I described in that clip.
Mm.
Because what I'm going to tell you is, in this moment, my feeling is uneasiness. My feeling is, I don't love it. I'm not excited. I'm not celebrating.
Right.
But my uneasiness is also knowing that things can change on a dime. What does this move set up is the ultimate question. And none of us know the answer. So when people are excited about this trade, why? If people are throwing stuff about this trade, why?
Mm.
There is so much we don't know. But on the surface, do I love the trade? Absolutely not.
Right.
And I'll tell you why. They've added money to their payroll over the next 3 years, specifically the next two. They've just added $5.5 million to their sheets. Marcus Semien makes $26 million. Brandon Nimmo is at 20.5. So this year, they've added payroll for a player who's better defensively, very different than Brandon Nimmo, overall not the offensive player, and also 2 years older. And the benefit is in 2029... And in 2030, they've cleared out the Nimmo contract because Simeon's also off the books.
Yeah.
So they benefit themselves financially in 3 more years. They give themselves flexibility in which we don't know how they're going
to
use it.
Well, can't you just wait to see how they're going to use it?
I am.
You have to. This is not the end of this. It's not just Brandon Nimmo. We needed to shake up the core, so to speak. I know we had a couple of callers at the end of the regular season or end of the baseball season say that's what the Mets needed to do. This is not the move that's going to shake up the core.
Well, this does shake up the core.
Of course it does.
I mean, Brandon Nimmo's a big part of it.
Of course it does. But there is more going to happen.
Of course.
Absolutely more going to happen. And so you can't judge this until you see the big picture.
And that is my point, especially to even those that are excited. You don't know what's next.
Mm-hmm.
So we can play
but
the
you
fan.
You know it's something.
Absolutely. The fan fiction game. Mm-hmm. Like, here's the positive fan fiction game. They're going to get Kyle Tucker. Now, of course, if the Mets ended up signing Kyle Tucker to an 11-year, $400 million contract,
right,
and a part of that was because, well, they were able to clear the last 2 years of Brandon Nimmo, I agree with you. I'd mm-hmm. say, wow, okay, the Mets are better. But what if it's Luis Robert Jr.? What if that's the outfielder they're going to add? I think the reaction would be very, very different.
Yeah.
So it's one of those moves that...
That would be swinging for doubles.
Yeah. It's one of those moves where we don't know. So in this midst, in this like middle ground that we are, my honest answer is I have a lot of uneasiness.
Mm.
I don't love the swap. Like, I think you blocked a lot of your young second baseman from potentially getting a chance to play.
Oh, now they could be trade pieces.
They could be trade pieces or they could play the outfield.
Yeah.
Yes, you've gotten significantly better defensively, but he's 35 years old.
Yeah.
Is Marcus Semien going to have a renaissance of the year this year? I hope so.
What did he hit last year? 230?
But he's also trending down over the last 2 years. So, like, pound for pound, when I compare the two players, both are on bloated contracts. Both contracts are not ideal. The Mets hurt themselves in the short term money-wise. They get better in 2029 and 2030, but it's really about what's next. So, is it stupid? I can't say it's stupid without knowing what's next.
Yeah.
But I also can't lie to you and tell you, ooh, I'm so excited. Why would you be excited?
I think the problem is you don't have enough of a track record with David Stearns to trust that he's going to make the right move next. So you believe that he is. You can anticipate and say, this would make sense to do this, but you haven't seen it enough. So you have no idea what his level of aggression or prudence is going to be with the next move. Because this is not just the only move.
No question.
And so he has to earn it now. Well, David Stearns, I guess, and Steve Cohen's approval, has to earn the fans' trust that this was the right move.
When you look at the Met outfield right now, just right now, mm-hmm. and that sets up what should happen next, they have Juan Soto as the only guaranteed starter in the outfield. Carson Bench will get an opportunity. Yep. He may not be ready. Tyrone Taylor, ideally a fourth outfielder.
Mm-hmm.
Jeff McNeil's still on this roster. I think we all hope and assume he will be moved, even though David Stearns talked him up earlier today.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Black Friday? More like Black Fry-yay. Shop the DSW Black Friday sale and take 30% off almost all the shoes, accessories, and giftable goodies we've got at DSW.com. Plus 30% off just about every regular price item at your DSW store. Score shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget. So carpe the deal. Head to Designer Shoe Warehouse and get that gift list done. DSW, let us surprise you.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds low after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
That angst that I have isn't about losing Brandon Nimmo. It's about, okay, what's the next move? Mm. And I think that's what's going to define this, right, Tommy?
They are better.
No, they're not better.
The Mets are, okay. Are the Mets better at second base today than they were yesterday? Marcus Semien
defensively,
is
yes.
He's better offensively than Jeff McNeil, too.
Did you see Marcus Semien's numbers last year?
Have you seen Jeff McNeil recently?
He was
better
offensively.
Have you seen Marcus Semien at his peak?
But hold on. His peak was 3 years ago.
Okay, and what was Jeff McNeil's peak? Jeff McNeil's peak has been years ago.
Last year, offensively, who was better, Marcus Semien or Jeff McNeil?
Marcus Semien does more on a baseball field to help you
win. Well, that wasn't the question.
No, that's the answer. Marcus Semien is a better baseball player than Jeff McNeil.
You just changed your own question.
No, I did not.
Offensively, it was McNeil.
Thank you, Tiki. And that's all you said. Right. You're now changing it. Of course he's better defensively. They're not a better team overall.
I'm saying Marcus Semien is also better offensively than Jeff McNeil.
Not last year.
Okay. Throughout their career, who was the better baseball
Marcus
player?
Marcus Semien, but his
he
career
almost won an MVP.
He finished third in the MVP.
He almost won an MVP. That's finishing
but
third.
But that third is pretty damn good.
No, but that was 3 years ago.
It wasn't 30 years ago. It was 3 years ago.
Tommy,
you want Luis Robert. He hasn't been good in years,
I
too.
Didn't say I want Luis Robert. I pointed out that if that's the next move, how would you react?
Yeah, that's,
I didn't endorse that.
That's not happening.
Okay, I think that's possible it happens.
No.
I wasn't saying I want that to happen.
But why would that make any sense?
Because he's young and...
And not good? that makes perfect sense for the Mets.
By the way, I'm not arguing it. I'm pointing out that the options in terms of who they're going to fill in the outfield isn't just Kyle Tucker and Cody Bellinger.
No, you're being a pessimist.
You're
throwing it out there because you're saying that's going to happen, and then I'm going to be pissed.
No. I'm saying that since this move was made, the natural reaction is, "Ooh, does this mean Kyle Tucker or Cody Bellinger?" Mm-hmm. I hope so.
They're efforting it. There's no doubt they are trying to do that.
Okay, but again, all I'm saying is those are the guys that people are dreaming of. I'm saying it's also possible that the outfielder they add is Luis Robert Jr. Nowhere near is that an endorsement or a prediction. I'm just giving you the whole scenario. Now, Tommy, I don't know why you're going to 2023. If Marcus Semien's the guy from 2023, then it's a wonderful trade. But I can't assume at 35 years old he's going to go back to being that player. I hope he does. If he does, then in the short term, it's a good move. But when I said they're not as good as they were last year, because Semien is an offensive player who's gone backwards. There's no denying that. He's great defensively, and the Mets have upgraded their defense, but they also didn't score enough runs last year.
Are the Mets better off with Marcus Semien and Cody Bellinger or Brandon Nimmo and Jeff McNeil? What makes them a better team?
But you just jump to the
no,
the
because
signing
I'm
that
giving,
would...
because you're jumping to, I'm telling you what I think they're going to do. They're going to sign Bellinger, so you don't think Bellinger and Marcus Semien makes the Mets better, both offensively and defensively?
I don't think you listen to anything we talk about.
I am listening to you.
I just said if it pivots to Bellinger or Tucker, the move's going to be great. I said, but we don't know if that's going to be the case. And so the optimistic Met fan, which is you, is just assuming that the next piece is the one you love. I don't know if that's the case.
I still would take Marcus Semien over Jeff McNeil. So even if, because to me, that's
but they didn't trade Jeff McNeil for Marcus Semien.
Yes, they did. Because Marcus Semien is the second base. Who's playing left field? A ghost? Someone else is going to be out there.
Right.
So we don't know the Nimmo replacement.
What Tommy is saying
is
that by trading Nimmo and bringing in Marcus Semien, Jeff McNeil's days are numbered.
Yes,
correct.
He's not going to be your second baseman.
I think his days were numbered prior to bringing in Marcus Semien because I thought between Ronnie Mauricio and Luis Angel Acuña and possibly even Brett Beatty.
And the fact that he spent a lot of time in the outfield this past year, which is not his natural position, even though he did it not too poorly. But I think Tommy is just, he's like slightly ahead of the horse right now. He's basically saying, McNeil is gone. He's still here, but he's gone. And so let's focus on Marcus Semien and then who else is coming in to play left field. And it might be Luis Robert, but I doubt it. That feels like a midseason trade because they exercised his option. So they clearly want to try to, the White Sox want to try and, I don't know, fix him or whatever the issue might be. But I don't feel like that's going to, it's not happening now. You know what I mean?
Oh, I think it could. Absolutely. He's on the table. Yes.
And you're going to take a $20 million option on Luis Robert
Jr.? I'm just saying he's a
that makes no damn sense, Evan.
First of all, I haven't made any moves. Okay. Just like Cody Bellinger hasn't been acquired yet.
Right.
So but it's, I'm not making any jump.
My point is it's going to be a better left fielder than what's currently available on the roster right now. And that's obvious. And you just have to have hope or faith. That David Stearns does that.
Well, and that's what Tommy's doing and a lot of Met fans are doing. If you're just going to assume they're going to sign Cody Bellinger to replace Brandon Nimmo, and you ask the question, is Cody Bellinger at this point in his career better than Brandon Nimmo? The answer is yes. But they haven't signed him yet. Mm-hmm. And so that's the funny nature of this trade. We can speak on the trade in terms of the right now.
Right.
In the right now, I think Brandon Nimmo, despite his defensive deficiencies and Semien still being a Gold Glove caliber second baseman, I don't think in the moment this makes the Mets better. Now, if they add Cody Bellinger or if they add Kyle Tucker or if they make a trade for Fernando Tatis Jr., will I come on the radio and say, boy, that first piece did make a lot of sense? Of course, but they haven't made it yet. So why? I'm not being negative, but why would you want me to just naturally be positive? Nothing's happened yet on the next move.
But the Mets,
you know what I mean, Tom?
No, I don't know what you mean, because David Stearns is clearly prioritizing defense. Cody Bellinger is your best offensive outfielder.
They haven't signed Cody Bellinger!
I know that, but they just traded offense for defense, so they're prioritizing defense. So why wouldn't I think they're going to be all in on Cody Bellinger to upgrade their defense?
What I've learned from this exercise is I need to get you on the record before things happen. So it's my fault for never suggesting Marcus Semien for Brandon Nimmo. So what I'll ask you right now is this, and I'll ask Tiki. Tiki's already given
that
his answer.
That kind of came out of nowhere, though.
Yeah, but we could have, if we pieced it together more, we could have figured it out.
No, you're right. You're right. But
if the Mets outfielder that they add, and I'm not saying anything about Alonso or Diaz, I don't know. I'm just talking about the outfield. If the outfielder they add is Luis Robert Jr. and left field becomes the Tyrone Taylor, Carson Benge kind of competition, what would you think now of Nimmo for Semien?
The problem there is you have a wild card in Benge. If Benge is a...
Benge is on the team either way.
No. Meaning, like, if he is great, we don't know what he is. So I know what Taylor is. I know what the peak of Robert is, but I don't know what Benge is. What if he's
so
a superstar player?
So you're not answering
player?
The question.
I'm saying it's a question that boxed me in a corner. We don't know what this player could be in
it's
Benge.
It's not boxing you in
yes,
the corner.
It is.
It's giving an opinion on the player.
Who the heck
Tiki
knows
has?
What Jet Williams or Carson Benge is going to be? What opinion can I give? I haven't seen him yet.
But no, I'm talking about Luis Robert Jr. Like, if that's the outfielder they add, you're assuming Bellinger, which I agree with you. I'd
I don't
be very
think that's
excited
happening.
About.
That's not happening.
But that's not my question. I'm saying if they got him, what would your opinion be?
I know, but I can't posit that that's going to happen because I know that the White Sox are keeping him.
We don't know that.
They exercised the 2-year $20 million option.
That doesn't mean they're keeping him. They could easily trade him, especially
so
for a young piece.
So the Mets would take an inconsistent young outfielder who's making $20 million?
I could see it, yes.
Really?
Over a 7-year deal for Cody Bellinger at $28 million? Yes. How come neither of you will answer my question? It's just so simple. I just want you to know.
I don't want Luis Robert Jr., that's why. I know he's... I already told you that.
Thank you.
So
you've answered the question.
I've already said I wanted Cody Bellinger.
But that's not my question. We all want... Cody Bellinger's a fine player. I'd like him on this team.
Then get him here.
I'm asking you, what would your reaction be if they had Luis Robert Jr.? Would you like it or would you dislike it?
Well, I'd have to think about it once the deal came up.
Tiki, he won't answer a question.
Well, because I'm not going to put myself on the stand here now.
It's $20 million for 2 years.
$20 million for 2 years. He's what, 27?
No, 40 for 2 years.
Oh, 40 for 2 years?
Yes. The White Sox exercised his option. Mm-hmm. So they're keeping him. They're not trading him unless they do it at the deadline and he has a good season. Whatever. A good start to the season. He's likely a White Sox. But if you get Luis Robert Jr., you're taking 2 years, $40 million.
If they don't sign Bellinger or Tucker, who are clearly the two elite-level outfielder free agents, I'm not sure what outfielder they're going to add. I'm using Robert just as an example.
Unless they trade.
Okay, so if you want to come up with another outfielder that's not as good as Bellinger or not as good as Tucker to play this game with, I'd be more than welcome to. But you're making an assumption, which I've already agreed with. Tommy, if they get Cody Bellinger, fantastic. I'm good. I like it. Okay, makes sense. I'm asking you, if it's not Cody Bellinger, would your opinion on this trade change? You won't answer it. Why not?
It would not change. I still think Marcus Semien is a major upgrade over Jeff McNeil, and I don't know what universe
but
Jeff McNeil has put
Brandon,
up better numbers than Marcus Semien over the last 3 years.
No,
he hasn't.
No, last season.
No, last season he did not put up better numbers, Jeff McNeil.
Yes,
Semien had better numbers across the board.
Give me his numbers.
Semien's?
Yeah, let's go through
Okay,
him.
So what do you want to start with? Average?
Give me games played.
Games played. games played.
Just give it.
He rested at the end of the year because Texas was out of it.
He got hurt.
Okay.
Just tell me
he's played. I'll give you games played. 162-21, 161-22. Yeah, the guy has played throughout his entire career every single game, and you're going to cherry pick 1 year.
No, no.
You're cherry picking last season.
He's 34 last year. He's 35 this year. Tiki, do you understand what I'm saying or no?
He's getting older. All right, that's a challenge.
Do you want to play the game since he won't play?
He had a sub OPS plus, sub 100 OPS plus. He was bad. He played 230.
And Jeff McNeil had a better year.
Jeff McNeil hit 247, 246, whatever it was.
Okay.
He had a sub OPS plus too as well, but it didn't matter. Right? Either way, he's not going to be here.
Who?
Jeff McNeil.
I know, but he's saying that McNeil and Sapp, whatever. I don't want to do it anymore.
Right.
Thank you for not playing. You didn't play any of the games with me.
Because I'm not going to play your game. Marcus Simeon over the throughout his entire career, including last year, is better than Jeff McNeil, Evan, both defensively and offensively.
Tommy, I never talked about
not even in the conversation. He's better.
The challenge is it's really hard.
I'm talking about last year.
To look at a guy's, Tommy, to look at a guy's past performance when he's aged. And he's 35.
But Jeff McNeil is aging and not getting any better either.
Oh, I don't want Jeff McNeil either.
Right. And that's what my point is. So right now I'm looking at it
I think we're talking about a bunch of guys that aren't going to be on the Mets.
Jeff McNeil probably won't.
Jeff McNeil, Luis Robert Jr., Simeon will because he's defensive, you know, upgrade from what's been there. But I think we're getting way out in front of what David Stern's next move is potentially going to be. I think they're big game hunting right now.
And that's what makes it very difficult to judge this trade because we don't know what the next move is. The only reason I brought up McNeil's numbers from last year is because I said that Nimmo to Simeon is a downgrade based on last season.
Offensively.
Offensively, not defensively. Simeon is a brilliant defensive player. And you said, well, but he's better than Jeff McNeil. And I merely said, well, offensively, just that one aspect of his game, last year McNeil's better. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of just saying you're right, you're like, well, what about 2022?
Simeon had more homers.
I know he's great.
Simeon had more homers.
How many did he hit?
More homers,
more RBIs.
How many did he hit? I'll get it right now. He had 15 home runs.
Okay, Jeff hit 12.
Okay. 62 RBIs.
54 for Jeff.
Okay, so 2-0 for Simeon. 108 hits.
Okay, give me the batting average.
62 runs.
Give me the batting average.
He hit 230, Marcus
Simeon.
Okay,
Jeff hit 243.
Okay, so he beat him in one category.
How about the on-base percentage?
On-base is 305.
335 for McNeil.
So he got those
two. And what about OPS?
OPS is, I can't find, 97.
I'm sorry?
97.
OPS, not whatever you just said. OPS.
Oh, my fault. 669. I apologize.
Okay, Jeff was 746. So there you go. Thank you for finally playing the game.
So what about the other stat categories? You're going to just throw those out the window?
Jeff had a better offensive season last year than Marcus Simeon. That's all I'm saying.
Was an all-star the two prior years. He was in the top three in MVP. Evan, what do you think is more likely? All right, what is more likely?
Welcome to Fangraphs on WFAN.
Is Marcus Simeon more likely to get back to his 2024-2023 season? Is that more likely, or is Jeff McNeil more likely to take the next step and be the player Marcus
Simeon
was?
Neither of those scenarios.
But again, I can't stress this enough. The Mets did not trade Nimmo for Simeon. They traded Simeon essentially for McNeil. We don't know who the left fielder is yet.
Here's the best part. We agree to disagree.
Okay.
There you go. That's a nice little argument. People can decide who they side with.
Thank
but
God.
I must admit that Digital really hates Tommy because they put out like a video that they haven't released yet, but I guess they're releasing it during the Thanksgiving holidays, in which we argued about the worst free agent signings in Met history. And they labeled it as Evan destroys Tommy.
Mm. Wow.
And I'm I get the deal. I have to look at the lights. You're the bigger star. I understand how Digital works.
I think that's awful. I would never have said it that way. I thought it was a fair argument.
Well, did you destroy him?
No.
I don't know. That's up to for people to decide, not me. I don't make that decision.
Clearly the person that made the slug was what we say, or the title, agrees with you. So they're showing their bias.
The long-awaited change that everybody's been looking for. Shane Bowen finally out for the Giants.
I really can't think of. I'm sure there may have been one that I'm just mentally omitting. But has there ever been such a calling for somebody to get fired where it just didn't happen for like as long as it didn't happen for?
Hmm.
I don't know. I mean, maybe I'm just, again, just kind of glossing over something that's fairly recent, whatever. Point is, it had to happen. I am looking forward to hearing from Stearns. It's a big, big trade. It's a big, big moment for the Mets organization. So we'll play some of that back, as Sal said. But pertaining to the Giants, the DC was not going to be back next year. Everybody on the planet knows that. And I do give Kafka credit for, you know, rather than caving into the masses with the pitchforks and whacking them right away, I think he did what a smart adult does. He walks into a situation, he evaluates it for himself, and then he makes a decision.
WFAN NFL football powered by Verizon. Get your local Verizon store today. So Stearns is addressing the media right now. Here's the first cut for you. Stearns talking about saying goodbye to a beloved Met and Brandon Nimmo.
Hi, everyone. Thanks a lot for hopping on. I'll start by just thanking Brandon and his family for an incredible career with the Mets. You know, from the moment the Mets drafted Brandon, he did everything right here. He represented the organization exceptionally well on and off the field, and really was a great Met. We wish Brandon and his entire family nothing but the best as they embark on the next phase of Brandon's career with the Texas Rangers. We're also really excited to add Marcus Semien to our organization. Marcus brings an elite level of defense. He's one of the best defensive infielders in baseball and has been for a number of years. He's a winner. He brings a winning drive and determination that we think is going to fit well in our clubhouse. And he balances our lineup from the right side, which is something we were seeking to do. So very happy to be able to bring Marcus in. And beyond the immediate player return part of this deal, we think this opens up possibilities and flexibility for us going forward, both from a near-term perspective and also allowing space for a number of very young outfielders who are coming, who are talented and will deserve spots at the major league level and to play at the major league level. And this transaction also provides room for that to happen as we move forward. So these are always tough decisions. This was not easy. Everyone here thinks very highly of Brandon. But in order to create the type of sustainable championship caliber play that we seek to have here, at times these types of decisions are necessary.
Amen.
Perfect.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
Perfect.
I mean, God bless.
Really. He did the right thing. You know, he spoke from the heart right away about Brandon and the Nimmo family. You know, and I'm just looking at this, like, Mets games played all time. Obviously, they don't have the history of some of the other teams that have been around forever. They were born in the early 60s, as you know. But, you know, like, think about some of these names, right? Whether it's Backman, whether it's Todd Hundley, whether it's Beltran, whether it's Keith, whether it's Wayne Garrett, if you're old enough, Murph, Ordonez, who you love, Rusty, yeah. Staub, Piazza. Brandon Nimmo played more games than Mazzilli, who came up, Brooklyn-born, was with the Mets as a kid. Nimmo played more games with the Mets and all those people that I just mentioned. Like, you know, he's played a lot of games here. And I'm just geeking out for a second, but I went to his Baseball Cube page, which gives you all the minor league stats too. Like, the amount of time from 2011 to 2025 to be part of the Mets family, you know, you don't take it lightly, but the objective is to win. And the money part of that from Stearns was, now it opens up possibilities for us to do other things.
Yeah, there are four or five different things that this one move does. Open up the outfield for whether the young kids finding a space, potential free agent or trade, making them better defensively, right-handed, which I'm not going to go nuts about yet because they still have to build out a team, but they were looking to get more right-handed with the bunch of infielders, a lot of them lefties. Yeah, I mean, the guy's a winner, as he said with Semien, great elite defensive player. This is a home run for the Mets. Let go of the emotions and get involved in what should be a better ball club now. All right, here's more from David Stearns.
Can you just walk us through the timeline of how this came about from conception, like whose idea it was at first, and all the way through to, I'd be curious to hear about your thoughts presenting it to Nimmo, who obviously had to clear it.
Yeah, this is something that really probably gained steam last week after the GM meetings. I think throughout the offseason, Texas had looked at Nimmo as a very attractive fit for them, and we had looked at Semien as a potentially really good fit for us, but we didn't really line up and really start making progress on this, I think, towards the tail end of the GM meetings into last week. These are difficult deals to put together. You're talking about two very established players. You're talking about two players who are embedded in their organizations, who have had success there. And clearly, in Brandon's case, you're talking about a player with no trade protection. Yeah, I'm going to keep the specifics of the conversation with Brandon, I think, between the two of us. But Brandon's a pro. He's the ultimate pro. He was very respectful, considerate, and considered, I think, throughout this process. He took time to digest everything, took time to speak with his representation, took time to speak with his family to determine what was best, and ultimately he decided to accept the trade.
Brandon was obviously a, you know, not just a longtime player here, but a fan favorite. You've alluded to this a couple of times already, but to what extent or how much do you weigh those sorts of things versus just a pure baseball decision in these matters?
Yeah, it was something we had to think about, no question, both in terms of fan reality and the fan relationship with Brandon, but also we have real relationships with Brandon, and our players have real relationships with Brandon. Coaches do, front office does. And so that is a part of this. And that certainly makes decisions like this a little bit more challenging than they otherwise would be. But at the end of the day, I still felt like this was the right decision for the organization.
Yeah, and it is. And anybody can make the easy decisions. Oh, well, go sign Bellinger. Go sign Soto.
Yeah, trade for Scooble.
These are the decisions that separate the men from the boys. And David Stern showing the ability to separate from a great guy in Brandon Nimmo. It's okay to say, hey, you're a great person, high character individual, done a lot of good for this organization. Also, we believe we could be a better team without you here. There's no harm in that.
It's the reality of life pertaining to everything. You know, it's funny. The question was really good. It was something that I would have really liked to hear an honest answer for. Now, that's not a knock at Stearns. You're not going to be as forthright as we would like you to. And what I mean by that is, you know, he said, well, you know, Texas liked Nimmo and we had interest in Simeon. I get that. Clearly, you guys consummated a trade. Who approached whom first? I just for myself, I would like to know.
He said
it came up with the winter meetings.
Well, he said Texas showed some interest.
Yeah, and but then he said we also had interest in Simeon. Yeah. So to me, I took that as almost like, well, being a little evasive, which by the way is smart to do. You don't need to get into the semantics and tell us what exactly happened. Well, the only reason I asked that though is because now Nimmo seemed to handle this very well. But what if Nimmo turned it down? And what if he turned it down and that story gets out, which you know at some point it would have. You would have had a mess on your hands.
Yeah, I wonder what you do in that spot.
I don't know. And then you have to find a different suitor or you've got to do something to try to make amends with that. And that's the risk of business. But it's also the Mets knowing Nimmo, knowing his personality, knowing he wouldn't cause a big stink, even if he opposed it and wasn't going to contractually give them or relinquish the, you know, the whatever, you know, the no trade thing. Their instincts were rewarded. And I also think, and you know, sometimes you can tell when it's time for change, and maybe the Mets felt like from Nimmo's point of view, not just theirs, to build a better team, but maybe they thought, hey, maybe it's time that he kind of wants out as well for maybe some signs that we didn't see behind closed doors.
Let's listen to more from David Stearns on trading Brandon Nimmo.
Hey, David, just when you talk about wanting to give young players a chance to play and have those avenues opened up, how do you kind of square acquiring a 35-year-old at a position where you have these young players who are available and who are maybe, if not already ready to contribute, a year or so away from doing so?
Simple. He's better. But
I think the good thing about the players who maybe have played second base for us over the past couple of years who are a little bit younger or who may be coming or infielders, there's a ton of positional versatility with all of them. So whether that's Acuna or Jet Williams or Ronnie Mauricio, we have a high degree of confidence that all of these guys can play multiple positions and can play them at a high level. And so we don't look at the Simeon acquisition as necessarily blocking anyone from continuing their progression.
And just how did you, how much did you, I guess, wanting to change the clubhouse dynamics, did that play a role into this trade at all?
I don't know if it's necessarily wanting to change the clubhouse dynamics. I think it's a recognition that what we did last year wasn't good enough. And running back the exact same group wasn't the right thing to do. And so as we went into this, we believed and still believe that we have to be open to anything, that we shouldn't be in a spot to take anything off the table. And ultimately, if we're able to put transactions together that we think make sense for the team, both now and in the future, that we have to consider them regardless of what names may be involved.
Hey, David, just Semien is obviously coming off of a down year at the plate. Given his age, it points to an obvious decline. Just what makes you believe that he can rebound offensively?
Yeah, I think there's still some underlying aspects of what he does that are encouraging for us offensively. I also think it's notable that this is a player that can contribute to winning baseball in a variety of different ways. And the bat may not actually lead the way at this point in his career. We think there's likely some bounce back in his offensive profile and his offensive game. But what we're counting on at the top of his skill set is the contributions he can make for us defensively, how he can perform on the bases. And we think those are going to help us win games.
Yeah, and then you have alluded to it a little bit. What are those intangibles from Semien in terms of winning drive, leadership, his high character? What did you like there about him?
I think as we really began to dig in on who this person was, talk to his former teammates, former coaches, people who have been around him, this is someone who takes his craft incredibly seriously. Someone who does everything he can on a regular basis to get in the lineup, to perform at a high level. Practices hard and holds those expectations of his teammates as well. And I think that's going to fit in very well for our group.
And that is why you make this trade. And that is why David Stearns had so much success in Milwaukee. Look at the Brewers team. Look at how those guys play the game. This is not a knock on Nimmo or anybody else that's been here before. Stearns has yet to really put his fingerprints on this team. It's hard to do that as a GM or president in just two plus seasons. And now this offseason, maybe the most pivotal in his tenure with the Mets here, they're going to have success. He's finally going to have a chance to clean up some of the moves that were made before he got here.
Yep.
And put his imprint on this team with guys like that. Tyrone Taylor, one of the players that he brought in. And at the time, he was an afterthought because it was all about Hauser. Adrian Hauser was the pitcher that they brought back.
Yeah,
look at the way Tyrone Taylor plays. He's not the highest level of skill, but he's a ball player, a dirt dog, a guy who's going to wreck his body to make an out, to catch the ball in center field, a grinder, a gamer. That's what you're getting with Semien. Obviously, a guy who's getting older and maybe on the decline offensively, but those type of players, BT, you talk about this all the time, help you win games in more ways than just putting the bat on the ball.
It's one of the many reasons why I like this move here for the Mets. And I thought Stearns that was a very honest assessment of where Semien is right now. He even said, hey, listen, at this point, his bat's probably not going to play the way it once did. You know, his bat's probably behind some of the other things that he's going to bring to the table. And we know what that is. That's, you know, speed and defense and, you know, keeping the ball in the infield when you're up a run, turn two, making the plays, making the throws, pop-ups down the right field line, helping Pete out, who's not very quick, and Pete's back going to get them, and Soto's not a burner out there either. Those little shallow bloops, trust me, you guys are going to love Semien once you get over the Nimmo thing. And the other thing, too, is it was very hard because you're right, this is his first true stamp. Soto was bought for. The other stuff, yep. Emotionally, even with Pete last year, probably, we think that was a Cohen thing.
Even the pitching was like a year, 2 years. It wasn't no major moves.
Well, think about the four best players that he inherited. Your first baseman, your left fielder, your shortstop, and your closer. Those were all long contracts that you stepped into. Now, the Pete stuff, just based on the expiration point, they're dealing with that now. They dealt with it a year ago. We'll see where it goes. Left field, he's gone. Shortstop, better than Nimmo, obviously. Much less desirable contract to trade. So what was the logical thing to try to shift right now? It was left field.
Zoom call conference that President of Baseball Operations for the Mets, David Stearns, has. So far, so good, BT. Love what we're hearing from David Stearns. Let's hear more on some of the questions the media is asking about the trade of Brandon Nimmo for Marcus Semien.
Hey, David. Obviously, you have a second baseman who's been there for a while in Jeff McNeil. Kind of where do you view McNeil fitting into your roster at this point in time now with Semien on board?
I think Jeff, by virtue of his positional versatility, still has the ability to impact our team in a variety of ways. What exactly that's going to look like is probably going to have to wait until we watch the rest of the offseason unfold. But certainly his ability to play corner outfield is a help. There may still be days if Semien needs a blow where he's playing some second base. We may ask Jeff to play some first base, depending on how the the offseason pans out. I talked to Jeff yesterday. He understands where we're headed. I think he wants to be a part of this, and he understands his positional versatility is a real asset for us.
And you mentioned at one point that, you know, running it back from last year was not the right thing to do. At what point during that slide over the final couple months of the season did you, as a front office, come to that conclusion that you would need to do maybe more changes than you had initially thought? And is this enough of a change in your mind, or is there more to come?
So I think when you're in the moment in going through a playoff push, you're focused on the day-to-day. You're focused on trying to do everything you can to win that day. And there's off-season preparation going on, but there's probably not that time for real reflection on how the team is performing at that moment. So I think once we got into the off-season and had the time to fully reflect on our team is when I became convinced that we weren't just going to run it back, that we were going to make some changes. You're never sure which changes are actually going to occur, which changes are actually going to be possible. And that's still the case as we move forward. I don't know what the next transaction is right now, but I know we're going to keep going in the offseason. I'm very confident we're going to have a productive offseason.
Yeah, and I'm very confident in him. I don't know how you can't listen to everything he said so far today. And what maybe BT is one of the more transparent interviews from Stearns. Usually it's a lot of, well, I don't know, we'll wait and see, this and that. This was a clear move with conviction and direction. It was a necessary, difficult, but necessary move. I don't know how you can't listen to anything we've heard so far, and we'll hear more from Stearns, but I don't know how you can't listen to that and feel confident about the direction of the Mets.
Well, I think, listen, I also think there was a chance that he maybe wanted to break up this core a year ago, but to do that, you know, the timing's got to line itself up here. And maybe they had some very exploratory conversations, you know, people that he trusts where he knew wouldn't get out, and there was nothing there in terms of who would want whatever he was willing to give up, what he could get back. So maybe it just presented itself as a good opportunity. And here you go. Nimmo's gone. Maybe McNeil, maybe others. We'll see what happens. I think that you should like what you've heard from Stearns, but really it's what you do. So the first year was good. The second year was not. And this is the year that Stearns has to distinguish himself. Now, I think it's a good step forward, moving off from a player that I would have probably moved on from as well. But the work is just starting, and I think everybody understands that. But, yeah, a lot of work to do here.
Understood, but he's ready to do it. I mean, when I hear him say exactly what I was thinking, and that they can't run it back, there was a thought from a lot of people, well, just add pitching. Keep the core four intact, and Nimmo, and Alonso, and Lindor, and Soto, keep them intact, and just add pitching. No, that's the wrong thought process. So for Stearns to acknowledge that basically right away after the offseason when they evaluate everything, nope, we can't run it back. That's the wrong thing to do. That is right. Now, will he make the right moves, all the right moves moving forward? No.
I don't think anybody makes all the right moves.
That's the point. But this, to me, was a crucial first step. You could not run it back. And they didn't. Nobody thought they were going to be able to trade Nimmo. And they did. Not only did they trade Nimmo, they got better defensively at second base. And now they have some options. They're going to have to spend. They're going to have to dip into the farm system. They're going to have to make some trades. Like, there's a lot more to be done here. Mm-hmm. But this was a huge first domino to fall for the Mets.
Well, to me, it shows that like the transformation is underway in terms of thought process. And before you do something like this, you've got to get to the point where you're like, okay, I'm going to get knocked around a little bit. I used the term before, court of public opinion, and a lot of Met fans aren't happy, and they understand that, and Stearns doesn't care. That's not his job to care. His job is to build you a World Series champion. So I feel like there's been an awakening within the Mets organization, a realization that they got to change things up. Now, so check.
Which, by the way, might have been difficult for him to do in year two because they won in 2024. So even though it was his second year, and he's probably eyeing everybody like, we need to change there. Can't do it after they get to the NLCS in 2024.
It's not exactly the same, but is it incredibly dissimilar from Kafka? We all know, like, we all would have fired the DC immediately, but Kafka came in and said, all right, let me at least see if I could work with this guy. And he didn't, and he couldn't. And then, of course, now, as we know, he's made the move. But, yeah, I think smart people come in, they assess, and they don't rely on other people to tell them what you're inheriting or what so-and-so is and who they are. Use your own eyes and use your sporting instincts to determine yourself, and that's what he's doing. So that's a big check in his column, like an awakening, this transformational thought process check. Now, the next thing I want to see, because the money's always good, whether it's Tucker, that's Cohen, Soto, Cohen, Pete, Cohen. But now the next thing I want to see is, how married is he to the prospects? Because there's going to be a deal, whether it's a Scooble, I don't think Skeens yet, but there will be trades that he will either say, okay, I'm getting rid of everybody to get this guy, or I'm reluctant. That's the next source of evaluation.
Well, let's listen to some more for Mets president David Stearns.
Hi, David. How do you foresee the outfield alignment shaping up, and does this increase your appetite to go after a sort of higher profile free agent outfielder, or do you still feel like there are internal options that you can kind of plug those holes with?
I think it would be too early for me to really determine how our outfield alignment's gonna shape up. Look, we clearly we've got Juan. Tyrone Taylor's back with us. We're very excited. We've got a number of young outfielders, including Carson Bench, who we think are going to contribute at the major league level over the course of next year. As I mentioned, we think Jeff is a contributor at the major league level in the outfield next year. Jet Williams has seen some outfield time. And we believe can play well there, and we've seen that in the minor leagues. And then there is the opportunity for external acquisitions, and we've got a lot of offseason left. I would expect us to continue to be active in a variety of spaces to bring players in here, and I think we'll have a better feel for what all of that looks like as we get much farther into the winter and ultimately into the spring.
How much do you have to sort of weigh some of the clubhouse stuff in terms of, you know, Nimmo was a key leader, Semien's the key leader, obviously on another team, but like, is sometimes some of that stuff a little bit, I don't know, overblown by the fans? I mean, does it not weigh as much as their on-field production or on-field contributions would be?
I think it's all part of our decision points and our evaluation of the team. Very difficult to create an equation for how you balance on-field performance and clubhouse chemistry and clubhouse leadership and how different pieces within that puzzle are all going to fit together. Very difficult to measure any of that. And so, you know, Brandon clearly was a very important piece, a prominent piece of our clubhouse for a long time. And we think Marcus is going to be able to fit in very well also.
Hey, David, your first baseman, your closer are both, you know, officially free agents now. Have you had a chance to engage them extensively in talks? Excuse me. How would you characterize those negotiations or pursuits at this point with Alonso and Diaz?
As I've said before, we'd love to have Pete and Edwin back. They're both great Mets. I'm not going to get into any specifics of any conversations that we've had to this point.
David, if you wanted to re-sign Pete, re-sign Edwin, and go out and get a top flight outfield acquisition, do you have the financial latitude to do that?
I think our ownership group is and Steve is very consistent that they're willing to support what we think is right from a baseball perspective. You know, payroll space is not unending, but I am also very confident that we're going to have the support we need and certainly the resources we need to put a very good team on the field.
Is what I just described a realistic strategy for you guys this offseason?
Sure. Yeah, I think anything would be realistic right now.
I mean, dude, there's not a person alive that doesn't think that if Stearns presents something that he believes is incredibly sensible, no matter how aggressive it is financially, that Cohen's not cutting every check. He's cutting them.
That's why I think you have to sit here if you're a Met fan and hear that and be excited beyond belief. This is not a bad day. It's not even a sad day. It should be an exciting day. Nimmo had his run. He had many opportunities. They didn't get the job done. It's not his fault. But they need to build a ball club here. And I don't know what more you could ask for as a fan than an owner who's going to be, A, letting the baseball people make their baseball decisions, and B, willing to give them whatever they need when, in fact, they do want to make those baseball decisions.
But I could also understand why it's a sad day. Now, what I would say is you have to be able to very quickly balance the sadness with excitement about what the future is going to bring, but I can see why a lot of people are down here. But just back to
tell me why.
Well, because they love Nimmo. Come on, you go to the yard and you got kids. You got the Nimmo. I get it. There's a human element. There's a human element to it that matters. Now it shouldn't matter to the point where it dissuades you from making a smart move for your team. I certainly understand even as an adult, like, you know, not just kids, like, you get connected to people. You do. And it's a results-oriented business. That's all that really matters. But I think a lot of us, and I'm throwing myself in the us at times, have a rough time separating that, and I respect it. I just think you have to understand that it's going to lead to something better and try to find a way to emotionally navigate the sadness.
I would also
I think everybody, people who don't like to trade today, you know, sadness, whatever word, lamenting the absence or the loss of Nimmo, however you want to frame it, they're not going to be walking around like this in a month. This is the day after, man. Nimmo's 32, 33. He got drafted when he was 17. I understand it.
Being sad when Mike Piazza was nearing the end, or being sad the day they traded Tom Seaver, or being sad to see the way the 86 World Series team was broken apart, that's a lot different than being sad for a guy who was a high-character individual and a very likable guy. Understood all that. I personally love Brandon Nimmo. He didn't really accomplish much as a New York Met.
Yeah, I mean, but I don't think that
David
that's
Wright,
the point.
Being sad about David Wright,
yeah,
that I understand.
Well, I mean, listen, the Seaver stuff, first of all, I mean, Cobb was drafted by the Mets.
No, I get it. Okay.
I mean, Seaver's on a mountain by himself in terms of greatness and sadness when he was dealt in the middle of the night for four Reds, which was an awful trade.
Look at his entire career.
With awful Mets ownership.
Look at Nimmo's entire career. Like, the last four seasons were his best.
I'm not saying you build it. I heard people saying you're going to retire his number. Are you nuts? There's no way Nimmo should have his number, and he won't. I'm not making a case for him as some ball player that anything other than a hard worker who had a couple of good years, who the fans really, really connected to. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying he was a B-minus player. Right. The one thing that I would say, though, about what Stern said, about whether it's Taylor, Benj, McNeil, or Jet Williams, like, those can't be options. Not with Soto in his prime, not with Lindor still here, especially if you bring back
Why not one of them?
Well, to start the season? No, not based on, for me, where the Mets are right now. If Lindor was younger, if Pete's back
younger. You can't. They're not going to acquire two outfielders. They're going to get one, and they have to keep the space free. They already have one massive outfielder in Soto. They're probably going to make another big move, whether that's Tucker, Bellinger, trading for one, whatever. It's going to be one from outside and then have the third spot.
Yeah. I'm just not giving the keys to... No, Benj might be the man. Taylor's a good backup. I'm not giving the keys to any of those guys. McNeil's... he's not playing center. If anything, he's playing a little bit of left field, whatever. If there were some other more stable spots around the diamond, like, I like Beatty, and Beatty very well might be the third baseman for a while, but we're not sure. Alvarez has talent. We're not sure. Like, there's still fluid. So I can't take a chance in center field when I'm trying to win now. That's all I'm
saying.
You're
okay with the Yankees doing that? They did the
Yankees have more better players, though, Sal.
Well, hold on a second. The Yankees did it with Austin Wells.
And he hit 20-something home runs.
BT.
No, but hold on. Do you think that the Yankees...
You did it with Volpe, Dominguez, and Austin Wells for years.
Yeah, but you had...
So why can't the Mets do it with one guy in the outfield?
Because the Mets don't have somebody that does what Judge does. They don't... And
why not? They have Juan Soto.
You're the one who's up, but he doesn't do what Judge... Nobody does. But you've been telling me that the Yankees are the one with more power. So that's the answer.
I'm talking about building a ball club.
Well, those are two different... I don't like the way the Yankees have built the team. But they went into last season with enough established players that you knew Judge would bang 50, mm-hmm. Belly would hit 25. They took some chances. I mean, they didn't know what Grisham was going to do, but they had pitching. Like, the Yankees were a better team. Right now, the Mets have no pitching.
Yeah, but they're good. But they're going to get. Forget about Mets or Yankees comparison. All I'm talking about, you were okay with Dominguez, Wells, and Volpe, three unproven, not to mention Ben Rice, three unproven young guys.
Yes.
Three.
Yes.
Going into a year where the Yankees are supposed to win a World Series in Judge's window. And the Mets can't have one spot in the outfield to either be Benj or Williams. And I have no idea what those guys are going to be. But the idea that they're going to now block all of those guys, that also doesn't make any sense.
Well, listen, first of all, we saw enough of Austin Wells the previous year to think that he would have some power, which he did. Now, the average is what it is. And, you know, maybe he's not going to be as good as I thought. Not giving up, but I wanted to see Wells. And I think he hit a leadoff opening day last year. Either way, I was fine with Wells coming in. Matter of fact, I knew he was going to be the starting catcher. Wasn't sold on Rice. Now I think he's terrific, so that worked out for them. Volpe's been a disaster. We talked about that. Right, and Dominguez was their top prospect.
Right.
So who I wanted to see play.
Okay, so why can't the Met fan...
Because I've never seen Benj or...
So what? It's not about you seeing them. It's about...
No, but it is, though, because that's how I get my... That's how I base my opinions.
You thought Dominguez was going to be great.
But I saw him at Houston come up and hit home runs and hit eight home runs before he got hurt. At least I saw something. Hey, by the way, if I saw... Benj do that, you know, for, I know it was a small sample, 7, 8, 9 games, I think I'd be more open to be like, oh, I like what I saw. But just
in theory, so forget about the individual players. In theory, the idea of having, like, every good team, even the Dodgers, are going to have to rely on some of the young players to come up and contribute. So why not be okay with doing it in one spot or maybe two as opposed to 3 or 4 spots? I'm not asking the Mets to run out of a minor league team, but to say that they... To me, it would be actually stupid the other way to plug 2 holes in the outfield and prevent any room for those kids to go who they believe in.
Not if one of those players is Bellinger and he plays in first base. Now, listen, by the way, the big sign difference Bellinger here.
And then you still have versatility. You still can use one of those young guys if need be.
Yeah.
And you save room for it. You're not clogging up a hole.
And by the way, I'm not saying not to give some young players some runway this year. Play Beatty, play Alvarez. I know really. What I am saying is that the Mets center field situation last year was so pitiful, so substandard, and so pathetic that I have no answers on... Well, I have an answer on Taylor. He's a 4th or 5th outfielder. I respect him, but he's nothing more than that. I've never seen Benj do a damn thing. I've heard about Jet Williams for 3 years. I haven't seen him do a damn thing yet. And I don't know anything. And McNeil can't play center. So all I'm saying is you could go with some young guys in certain spots. I'm not saying you can't. Every team does. But you cannot have center field be the worst by far situation in baseball again. That I can't do.
But
I can't have any of those guys playing center field. It's pretty clear.
It makes no sense.
What do you mean? I just laid it out perfectly.
You wanted Dominguez.
Forget
to play center.
About the Yankees.
No. It's not. It's about your belief. You like young guys more than anybody, and now with the Mets, you're saying that they can't have one. You don't know anything about Carson Benj.
We got to get back to this. We got to pick this back up.
But I'm serious.
So we don't have to break. I'll keep going. Tell me what to do. We break it. I want to keep going with this.
We're going to listen to the last two on David Stearns here, and then we can get back to that. Go ahead. Play the last two from Stearns.
I know you only overlapped with Brandon in Queens for 2 years, but when you look back on, you know, the entirety of his Mets tenure, what sticks out to you?
Look, I think it's the relationships that Brandon was able to create throughout our organization and the community. And I think that speaks to his authenticity, and that connected with a lot of people. And he deserves a lot of credit for that. And I think that's what we'll miss most.
Just one more on Nimmo. How much did his recent injury history change the value of his 8-year contract that he originally signed, especially with the repeating neck injury that would take him out sometimes?
I don't know. I think Brandon posts pretty well. And like, they're going to be nagging injuries for any player, especially as you get into these stages of their careers. But Brandon did everything in his power to get on the field. And clearly, more nights than not, he was out there playing left field for us.
All right, so that's it for Stearns on Nimmo. I thought that he handled himself extremely well there. I am excited about the future for the Mets. I'm also not expecting them to go out there and get Tucker and Bellinger or, you know, Bader and Bellinger. I think that they're going to do exactly what he said, probably keep one of those spots open for a young guy, which I'm okay with. Who that is, we'll find out. I know they're high on Benj. Who the hell knows? But I would be okay with that, assuming that they get one big outfielder in another way, whether it's free agency or via trade.
I thought he sounded really good. I know something else big is coming. That's why Met fans should feel really good about this. He is now doing what he wanted to do when he was hired. You know, I think that, and I don't know about that. I have no idea where Tucker's going. It's such a weird read. I know they're going to go after Bellinger. There's a chance the Mets might get him. But just to finish the conversation before, like, you haven't once heard me say Spencer Jones should start next year or Lombard should start. I've never seen them play. So now you are right about this. You said before that I generally like the younger players more than most. I agree with that. Like, I do, but if I haven't laid eyes on you, I'm not going to give you any sort of runway. I'm not going to prop you up without any basis, even if it's a small sample, because that's stupid. Jones strikes out a ton. I've seen the highlight home runs that go 500 feet, basically. I don't know if he could play. And I've never seen Lombard outside of spring training when he got a little look with the Yankees down in Tampa. The difference was, at least with Dominguez, Al, number one, he was the Yankees' number one prospect. And at least I saw him in the majors when he got called up in Houston. He looked like we were joking around. Mickey Mantle, you know, switch hitting Mickey Mantle, could run. He's got pop. He's got this. He's got... All right, let's give him a little room. Let's see what he could do. So, to me, the Dominguez, the willingness to play Dominguez, I just described why. Whereas with Taylor, I'm not looking to get Taylor off the Mets. He's a great clubhouse guy. He's a perfect, you know, extra outfielder. I've never seen Benj, which ties into me saying, like, I've never seen Jones, so that's why I can't give it to Benj. McNeil ain't it, and I've never seen Jet Williams. If there was a guy, like, I'll tell you this. If you said Alonso gets blown away by the Red Sox 8 years, which is not going to happen, and he leaves, I would say, Maybe you get Bregman, whatever, but I'd put Brett Beatty over to first base because at least I've seen him enough to think he's got the hands and the requisite talents to be a functional first baseman, and I think he's going to hit. So it's not just saying that the Yankees should play young players and the Mets shouldn't. It's seeing a couple of these, and we just throw out five or six names, seeing a few of them and then getting an early read, whether it's right or wrong, on what I think they could be in the majors. That's all I'm saying.
BT and Sal on the Fan. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back, maybe get some of your calls in here. Also at 1 o'clock, we'll have Hal Steinbrenner, who spoke as well via
Zoom.
Come on,
Hal. You better say something good today, buddy.
We'll do the same thing that we just did with Stearns. We'll do that with Hal coming up at 1 o'clock.
True North has something truly fast and friendly. Introducing the True Rewards mobile app. Sign up to get instant access to member-only offers and in-store coupons. As a True Rewards member, track your club status, find a store, and redeem exclusive offers all in one place. Join today and save 25 cents per gallon on your first fill-up and save 5 cents every day. Savings are stackable with Shell Fuel Rewards. Download now from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
At Lowe's, before the holidays is the perfect time for upgrades and upkeep. During Black Friday, get up to 50% off select major appliances and buy more to save more with up to an additional 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Plus, grab select DeWalt 20-volt max drill or impact driver kits for just $99. Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid through 12/3. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.